Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back, and it's time once again to talk to our good friend Glenn Davis, the foremost authority on soccer, we think, maybe in the world, and he's with us every morning.
I was an Astros fan when the Astros had Glenn Davis, the first baseman, the big bopper, and right now, I got to tell you, this Glenn Davis is higher in my power rankings than that Glenn Davis. That's right.
Yeah, he was either a strikeout or a home run.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Yeah, this one is home run. Every single show.
Or,
brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right here.
Yeah.
All right. You know, they lost Glenn, and we talked about it yesterday, and you thought it was awfully important. And but the way that they played, the loss, you know, I thought there were a lot of positives. I'm sure you did, too.
All right. Before we get to the U.S., I'm going to tell you a quick Glenn Davis story. Because in the 80s, I was here playing on the pro team, and they'd send us to events with the Gamblers and Jim Kelly and the Astros. So I'm at an event and I have a tag on me that says Glenn Davis, right? And I realized quickly that people don't know the difference between me and the other guy. They think I'm the Astros guy. So they're coming up to me talking baseball and I'm going, no, he's over there. I'm on the pro soccer team. Oh, we have a soccer team? Okay, so anyway, yeah. it was pretty funny. All right. U.S. won the group. Let's celebrate that. Yeah, it was a little bit of a buzzkill conceding late in that game, but I think what we have to remind ourselves is this is about navigation. So they went into that game with the ability to navigate, much like Germany did against Ecuador, and Germany also lost on a late goal. But Germany was rotating players, so were we. We made 9 changes. Anybody who thought this was going to be fluid, free-flowing soccer with 9 changes is kidding themselves. You got 2 good goals from Trusty and Berhalter. The effort, the competition, all of that was there. Other people got minutes and debuts. So the sky is not falling. Now the focus quickly with a short memory comes to Bosnia in the knockout stages, which can be a tricky game. And by the way, you also got Pulisic's minutes. He looked sharp.
He looked really good, didn't he?
Yeah.
And some guys didn't, but Berhalter showed. He was the first substitute in this tournament for the U.S. He came in when Pulisic went down after the first half, and he looked really, really, really good. You had some guys that didn't look great. Tim Weah did not look great. He had himself.
Real struggle. Mentally, he doesn't look there. You know, I think we were all hoping Gio Reyna could put more of a stamp on the game. I don't think he did. I think that really kind of reminds us that he is an asset off the bench late in games when other teams and opponents are fatiguing a little bit. I think that's the best time to insert him in games.
Yeah, but boy, Berhalter looked really – I thought he looked really good yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, that kid's an amazing story. I interviewed him downtown when Vancouver came in. He's an amazing story. That he was on Austin FC and MLS and was an afterthought and, you know, was thinking about not playing anymore. But, boy, he has put an amazing effort into turning himself into a better player, a better pro. And he certainly has gotten the trust of Mauricio Pochettino.
Yep. And it was our B team against – I mean – it's hard to say. I mean, for the most part, for 97 minutes, they were tied. And it was the B team against Turkey's A team. And, you know, and so none of those guys, I don't know that you take any much of anything away, Glenn, because, you know, they it was all try hard. But none of those guys are going to be – most of those guys aren't going to be on the pitch on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you're getting back your big four, right? And you're going to get your team that looked more like the first 2 games back. And look, giving up the late goal, not a great thing. It's kind of a little bit of a deflator at the end of that. But I think most people understand that this is navigating a tournament. You have the ability to go into game three, much like Germany against Ecuador, having already won the group, and Mauricio Pochettino made sure to remind people of that. And then you're able to do what you want. Effort and competition was there from everybody. Application was there. Mistakes were made. It wasn't free-flowing. It didn't flow as well. But when you make 9 changes to a team, I think that's kind of an expectation that you would expect to have happen.
So it was, as we look moving forward, you had, Japan. Well, let me get to the draw yesterday. Because I'm not familiar with this historically. Is it Giron, the disgrace in Giron, or where two teams really didn't put out much effort because they both benefited from a draw? You had a Paraguay versus Australia matchup where the draw was a favorite in that one, and a draw gave Australia, I believe, moves on for sure, or Paraguay. I think it's Australia moves on, and then Paraguay, I believe, I haven't seen the latest results, but is that one of those? How much of that right now is considered a concern in the world of soccer or international or group stages where you have where you have a situation where a draw, especially in a 48 team move on, a 48 team, the expanded field helps all these teams move on. It's a beneficial draw. Is that ever a concern that you're not going to get the best efforts when both teams, it's a beneficial draw?
Well, I think it's historically been proven out. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy around navigation of a tournament. You had a result a long time ago in the 78 World Cup with Argentina where, something happened where somebody had to lose 4-0 and it happened and guys came out, 30, 40 years later and said that there was something that went on. I think this is a problem for all of sports. Now that you're in bed with gambling companies, and then, of course, from the competitive standpoint, if you can get yourself in a better position going through. But that's not my focus. I mean, right. I'm focused on the players, the teams, what's coming to Houston. We got Cabo Verde and Saudi Arabia tonight. That's a big game. Group H is pretty much up for grabs. I mean, you got Spain and Uruguay in the other game. If Uruguay wins that game, they're going to win the group. So all four teams are in with the possibility in that group. So I don't think we'll be worrying about anybody not playing hard.
No, and Spain and Brazil, Brazil and Japan are going to be squaring off here, which figures to be.
How about that for
and, Japan is just so disciplined defensively, but you've got Brazil really has looked so much better the last two matches. No, I mean, it may be a stereotype, I guess. But, Glenn, tell them, Glenn, they don't make a lot of mistakes.
So that's a great matchup. I am super excited because we're going to get to call that. That is an incredible matchup. So you got the 5-time World Cup winners. Nobody's won it more than Brazil coming in. I disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think Brazil is hitting the samba tempo and rhythm that we're used to with Brazil. And in fact, I don't think we've seen that in a long time. Now, are they stacked with talent beyond belief? 100%. Vinny Jr., Rafinha, Marquinhos, Endrick, a young star, Cunha, who plays for Manchester United. Yeah, they're packed. But I don't think they're hitting all cylinders yet. There's Neymar floating around. They're wondering if he's even going to play, who is a national hero. But the Japanese are incredible because they bridge the gap with, as you mentioned, incredible collective play. They are so technically precise on the ball, much like Brazil. They are going to be a real problem for Brazil in that game. I would not put out the possibility of a big upset there. They've got an exceptional goalkeeper in Zion Suzuki, quick winger, Nakamura, very skilled. You've got Maeda up front, who's mobile, busy. That's a great game. I mean, that's just one I can't, I'm not looking too far ahead, but I can't wait to see that game
Styles.
Because I think the Japanese can give Brazil real problems.
In boxing, they say styles make fights, and to me, this is a styles make fights type of matchup. I am curious, though. John talked about, the stereotypical, the Japanese, but you talked about their precision, their collective play, which is easy to say. I spent 10 days in Japan, and boy, that is like literally exactly who the people are. Brazil, you've got the way they play. How often do you find that international soccer teams are a reflection of their cultural society? How often is that the case? I know that used to be.
That's a tremendous question and something to ponder. So Japan has, you know, here we are in America. We've had a long time where we, you know, how do we define the way we play the game, right? And most, what everybody would say, well, the American spirit, we're competitive. Well, that's great, but lots of other people are competitive too. The Japanese bridged the gap, and they did it on purpose and with a plan to bridge the gap of the physicality and the other elements of the game through incredible technical focus on young kids. And I'm going to have a guy on my show, Tom Beyer, in the future, who's been a part of that and lives in Japan. But that's how they bridge the gap. And then it's the collective nature of things. But culturally, it's 100% there. They work for each other. It's really about team with Japan in the real purest of sense. But, yeah, it's fascinating because their culture certainly adapts to everything they do on the soccer field as well.
What about the game you got tonight? What do you see?
Well, it's a big one, right? It was the one that everybody, oh, it's not going to be a great game. Well, it is a great game because both teams have the possibility, Cabo Verde and Saudi Arabia, to advance. I think Cabo Verde has been an incredible story, drawing Spain, drawing Uruguay, right? Nobody saw that really coming, yet they have a lot of players that play in Europe. Who's going to handle the pressure tonight between these two teams? You know, it really sets up to be something, I think, very special tonight, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Cabo Verde got their first ever goals in the history of the World Cup against Uruguay. Kevin Pena had one from long range, so it's a big game tonight.
Not only that game, what about Norway and France?
Ooh, I'm going to try to catch some of that before I call that game, but yeah, that's... You got Holland against Kylian Mbappe. That's to win the group. That's a great one. You also have a great one today with Senegal and Iraq because both of them can still advance. We mentioned Uruguay and Spain fighting to win their group. What else we got today? We got Mo Salah and Egypt against Iran. So lots of, you know, it's a cornucopia of just great games, differing styles, and games of implication because it's final group stage games.
Yep, this is it's coming down to the wire here to see who makes it, who's eliminated, who goes home, and who
just
wins the group.
The idea of the elimination, like I started getting nervous yesterday after the match was over. I started getting nervous thinking, man, this has been a lot of fun for the U.S. It can be over like that.
No more.
Like, you can make a mistake like they made, you know, with your starters then, but. It's and then you go home. My wife said, "Why do they do that? Where you go home?" I said, "Well, they can't play this forever. It's not a bunch of group stages. That's how every playoffs is.
Yeah, right.
You lose.
Well,
and you
look,
go
the
home.
We got to remember the Germans lost too, and they were looking ahead also. Right. I mean, you could tell in the Germany game that the foot was a little off the pedal. The team that had to win was Uruguay. And by the way, that's a great story as well because the stadium was packed with Ecuadorians. Excuse me." So Ecuador had to win that game, and they won it late. But, you know, every coach is doing what they think projecting out is the right thing. And a lot of that in these games where Germany and the U.S. have the advantage of deciding how they want to play the final game. And I think some of it was forced with the yellow cards with the U.S. for sure. Or I think we would have seen a little bit more of a lineup that looked closer to the first two games. But it's all about navigation. Nobody's going to care about this Turkey loss. In fact, they probably don't care about it right now because it's all about Bosnia now coming up next.
Yep, that's what it is. And we are off and running. Glenn's going to be back in the middle of it. And then you have the Brazil-Japan game in the round of 32?
Actually, not me. Yes, me because I'm calling it, but Houston's got that game.
No, I mean you're calling it.
I am calling it. I was trying to be funny there, but I think it's amazing. We've had Germany, four-time winners. Now we're going to get Brazil, five-time winners. We've had the Netherlands, one of the great soccer-playing nations. We've had Portugal twice. I mean, the draw of teams and stars that we've seen here in Houston, I think it's as good as anything around the country and in Canada and Mexico.
Yeah. And then we have not only this knockout game, but we've got another one too, right, in Houston?
Yeah, July 4th.
July 4th.
What a day that's going to be. I mean, that's where you want to be on July 4th, energy. I mean, excuse me, Houston Stadium,
Glenn, don't lose that job. Don't lose this job.
I can't make that Freudian slip today.
No, do not. Do not. This is Houston Stadium, and that's it. We don't know anything about energy. That's Glenn Davis every morning. Great stuff. And he's going to be back again on Monday. Have a great weekend. Got a great call here tonight, Glenn, and we will talk to you again on Monday. Can't wait. What a fun weekend it's going to be into now the knockout round.
Guys, have a great weekend. Thanks. I'm really enjoying it. You guys are doing a great job with this. And, you know, I love the fact that you enjoy the sport as well, and you guys are into it, and you follow it, unlike some, you know, and I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. That's great stuff. That's Glenn Davis every morning, 8 o'clock, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Kaplan Sinus Relief. Lance can tell you all about it. Just if you want to learn about it, just go to Lance Erline and ask him, and he will tell you the process.
Tweet at him. All your questions about Kaplan Sinus Relief.
Yeah.
Lance has got time. Care. He has proven he's Dustin got time
and
today.
Sources, Dustin and Sources is my, I'm not my kidding. DMs right now.
My point is, you have proven
time. Why
you got
is Dustin
time?
Sliding into time. Your DMs?
Well, he's asking about nasal That's, stuff. That's kind of weird.
Well, it is weird.
It's weird? He's asking.
It's actually not weird. I'm just trying to play off of John's thing. Nope. I actually would prefer if people want to know. I'll give you the whole layout.
The doc would appreciate. Yeah. Hey, slide. If you've got mind. Questions, ask,
yeah,
Lance will answer them.
Sliding into
yeah,
my
go
DMs.
Slide into.
Well, ask your questions through direct message format.
Okay, sure.
Not sliding.
That's
John makes
much
it sound
more
salacious.
Wordy. Mm. If you got questions about Lance's nose habits, slide into his DMs.
Yeah. That nose habits what, is the procedure.
What you doing with that nose?
No one said what you doing with that nose.
What you doing with that nose, though?
Dough. We got a break. 818.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. A little Texans talk here. Oh, we got, wait, David Brent. Is that David? David Kent, not David Brent. Yeah, from The Office, yeah. Yeah. David Kent wants to get in here and talk a little soccer. We'll get to some Texans talk in just a bit. What's up, David? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. 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 Go ahead.
Oh, I was told that you were supporting Japan. My friend, he's a pretty regular listener. Yes. He said that you were pulling for Japan, and I went to the game yesterday. Just wanted to talk about their team.
Oh yeah, you went to the where was that game played? Was that in Dallas?
Yeah.
Oh, AT&T, how was it?
Dallas Stadium.
Sorry. Yeah, that was a good.
It was awesome.
That was a good scrap.
Yeah, I was sat. I had my Japan jersey on. I was sat near a couple that were visiting from Japan, and it was a great time. I had no idea that their fans were so lively. The atmosphere was just awesome.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that the fans are pretty noisy in the stands.
I'm so bummed I haven't been able to get to a game. That's so cool that you went. That's great.
Go today.
Right. Yeah.
You got something going on today?
Yeah. I got a dinner tonight. I can't go. Okay. So David, what did you want to talk about?
That? Going to the Japan game?
I saw they got matched up against Brazil. I don't know how closely you've been watching all the other games, but
all of them
I think,
we watched.
What are your thoughts on their chances against Brazil?
Well, so we just had our expert on who calls the games. You didn't get any.
He's going to call that game.
He's going to call that game, and he's a former player, and he thinks that's a fascinating. He's super excited about it because
it's got to be one of the best round of 32 games there is.
It has to be because their styles are so different, and they both adhere to their style very aggressively. Those two probably stand out as their teams. perform like their cultures. Like that's how they, you know, the way Brazil likes to play, the way Japan likes to play. So that matchup to me is, I think that's a great matchup. Is it going to be Japan's defense and countering? How is that going to hold up against Brazil trying to put pressure on? This is not one of Brazil's best teams, not even close. So that's why a lot of people feel like Japan has a real shot in this one. So John and I both think that's going to be a really good one, and so did Glenn Davis. Glenn Davis, the true expert, thought, you know, he said he cannot wait to call that game.
So, David, on the morning of that game, tune in at 8 a.m., and you'll get an in-depth preview from Glenn Davis.
Yeah, Glenn's going to be calling the game, so he'll know every
aspect of it. Yeah, we're going to be talking to the play-by-play man the day of.
4th of July. So. Well, not really, because it'll be the 4th of July.
Oh, it's a weekend. It's a weekend, so we'll talk about him.
Yeah.
Maybe the Thursday?
We'll do it on the Thursday.
The Thursday Friday before. So, addendum, David. Listen in on Thursday.
These guys, listen, we were asked yesterday, do you want to work on the 3rd of July? And I said, well, if you don't, why would you be in this business if you didn't want to work on the 3rd of July?
You didn't say that, considering the text I got saying no one was working.
So, I said we should work because we got the World Cup. Mm. We got Glenn Davis.
You did, huh?
Brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief.
I didn't see that text.
So if I called Joe and had him on the air, he would say that you said that?
I did say if those guys will work, I want to work, I'll do it. I'll do it.
He did not express.
You want to see the text?
He didn't express that to me.
Do you want to see the text?
He didn't express.
Do you want to see?
He did not express that sentiment to me. He just said national.
Because Lance was pretty. Lance was pretty adamant.
I'm adamant. I ain't working any of your 4th of Julys.
Well, what's the 4th of July?
It's the 3rd of July.
3rd of July. Ain't nobody listening?
That's what you said.
Yeah, everybody's working.
No one's listening on 3rd of July.
Everybody's working.
No one works on the 3rd of July?
No one works on the 3rd of July. Is that
no.
what you're saying?
Company
right now?
Holidays. You get that off.
Okay.
It's the same way that we have. You get that as a company holiday.
Joe George. Oh. Okay. Are you planning on working next Friday? It's a company holiday for the 4th. Are the other guys? Haven't heard back yet. I doubt it, but if they want to work, I will.
Here's what I said. For who? For what?
That's what
Ricky Waters famously said when they asked him to catch passes over the middle. Ricky Waters was asked, why didn't you reach out your outstretched hands to make a catch in the middle of the field with a linebacker bearing down on you? He's like, for who? For what?
Well...
So forever, I've used that now.
For your team.
And the money you're making,
so
Rick.
Joe texted me at 11:09 during the middle of my show and texted back 19 minutes later, we'll just go national.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened in between.
Because
of Lance. Okay.
That's because Lance decided. Because
me, nobody
who,
else in the
what?
Whole nobody else in the whole station's working.
You were you're the fulcrum, and you decided no, and now everyone else followed.
I'm the fulcrum?
Everyone else followed. Your decision.
Oh, wait, he's the fulcrum and I'm the problem? Hold on a second.
Well, yes.
Wait just a minute.
When it comes to working or not working, Lance is the fulcrum. We go by what he decides.
No, then we would never work. Nick Caley. Nick Caley admitted, he said early on last season, I wasn't that great at
play. He didn't have to admit to that. We all saw it.
Well,
he's being accountable,
you Dale. Do have to be, yeah.
Excuse me, Nick, you know we have televisions, right?
He's being accountable. He's admitting he knew it.
He knew, okay. And he's also said, what did he say?
We could have just asked CJ. He
could
have told
us. Who's locked in, John?
CJ's locked in.
Look at that.
Is that what he said?
But they also said, Jake Andrews said, listen, we have about twice as much installed right now as we did last year at this time.
That's good.
Well, because isn't it a lot of the same stuff? A lot of the same. You mean you had a brand new offensive coordinator? I could see where.
You don't know terminology. Install takes longer. You're starting from scratch.
That's right.
Now you already terminology is already set. It's easier. Yeah.
The only guy who doesn't know anything, the David Montgomery, Rutledge.
Right.
You know, and Wuoso.
Yeah, he's a backup.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so everybody else. Should pretty much know your knows your terminology, so you should be way ahead.
When your quarterback actually cares this offseason, then
everyone's
going to take it. Don't make me defend him again like I did yesterday so vociferously.
Did he send you another pizza? I believe he cared, but the narrative from that building is the man really cares now.
Now he cares.
Which is interesting that it felt like they sent a memo out to everyone. Make sure you mention... how locked in the quarterback is this time around.
Do you think that's a company memo?
Yes.
It feels like it.
Yeah. So, Jake Andrews, what about this offense? Well, CJ's really locked in.
No, I was talking about the whole entirety of the offense.
Well, where is Nick Caley right? But CJ is really locked in.
From the head coach to...
Nico, what about your extension? Well, CJ's locked in.
From the head coach to a cornerback to the nickel, it doesn't matter. We all have heard that from everyone involved.
The thing about my extension is, man, CJ's really locked in this offseason.
CJ's locked in.
Yeah. That's the terminology. They're locked in.
I don't know. Seems like the messaging is clear.
It is pretty clear. Locked in. That's the new...
I hope they're right. I believe them. I believe he knows.
I believe him.
This is a big year for him, and he's stupidly locked in.
Incredibly.
Yeah, like, it's a different way to say incredibly. Yeah, stupidly locked in. Locked in.
All right, 832 ESPN 97.5. Let's do a little Zadig Jewelers, and if you got anything that you... Did you go to a game? You can call in and tell us about it. 713-780-3776. But first, a little jewelry.
Zadig.com, looking at the website right now, and they've got a Rolex on the front. They've actually got a few Rolexes that scroll through here. Rolex, fine jewelry, watches, bridal, service and repair. These are all things that you can, you know, kind of drag your mouse over and find out more information. Did you know that they have fine jewelry from the biggest names in the business? Anita Coe, Chanel, Chopard, Mikimoto. This may not mean anything to you, but it's going to mean something to her, I promise you. And when she gets one of these name brands and she sees the piece, because they're known for their high quality, they're known for how beautiful they are, going to just absolutely blow her away. And we're talking earrings, bracelets, and it can be a stud, it can be the climber and cuff earrings, the hoop earrings, bracelets like links, tennis cuffs, bangles. They've got necklaces, a variety of different types of necklaces and rings, and they have men's jewelry as well. There's a lot of men who, you know, love, want to get a chain, want to have a different type of ring. They've got that as well. And men's bracelets, they've got it all. I mean, Zadig has the finest gifts you're going to find. Their quality is unmatched, and their service is second to none. All you need to do is stop at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, and you'll experience it for yourself. Over four decades of serving Houstonians with the best jewelry and the best help to make memorable moments. And it's just, it's a family affair. I mean, all of the Zadigs. If you are a Zadig or married to a Zadig, you work there because your name means something. And so you want the service, you want the selection, you want the price, and you want the experience to be unmatched. And that's something that they do it every single time out. It's 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Shop online or just, you know, take a look at what you're interested in online at Zadig.com.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. You are more than welcome to get in. I couldn't open it because it's on NBC Sports. C.J. Gardner-Johnson says he was released from the Texans because he got into a confrontation with Nick Caserio's friend. Who was Nick Caserio's friend?
Let me see. He was just called GM's friend. No person was named specifically. But these are the quotes. If y'all going to cut me, cut me. But I'll give nobody reasons to cut me. I haven't. I don't. I'm not a cancer. There's nobody in this locker room.
Literally no one keeps him ever.
That says Chauncey's a problem. The media loves me. The only thing that'll do it is something that triggers somebody that has a say in the building that can alter somebody else's mind. That happens every time. That's how I got cut in Houston. One person that's not technically a part of the organization called me a B-word at Greenbrier. I get out of my body. He says something to the GM, and the next thing I'm cut.
I get out of my body?
Wait a minute. Greenbrier was before the season. Yeah. He was with the team. He gave up touchdowns because he's playing his own game instead of the defense that he was supposed to be playing.
I'm just telling you what he said.
but he got cut because of something that happened in the preseason?
He came in the league. That started the ball rolling, apparently.
He came into the league in 19. He's played for 5 different teams. Nobody can keep him. The Saints are like, yeah, you're pretty good, but this we just can't do this.
Only because he's on his own program.
So he went to – right. He's just he is a pain in the ass. He went to the Eagles. They won a Super Bowl. And they just said, we just can't do it with you, Chauncey. Mm. They had him for 1 year, and they let him walk. They didn't redo a deal. Now it was his 4th year as the end of the contract. They let him walk to Detroit. Detroit kept him for a couple of games and said, well, oh, my God, what did we do? And they got rid of him. Philadelphia brought him back. He finished the season. And wait a minute. Is that when they won the Super Bowl in 24? That's when they won the Super Bowl. It was in 24.
Yep.
So he was a starter, and they didn't bring him back on a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
On a Super Bowl team.
They traded him for a certain offensive guard that was no good here.
Yeah, Kenyon.
Kenyon for Chauncey. And then the Texans had him for 3 games. They're like, oh, my God, this guy's such a pain.
This is not
ass.
Fun. I want to guess which
Where's Casario, he right now? Is he with Chicago still?
He's
no.
He's with the Bills.
So he's with his 6th team. Chicago had him 1 year, and they're like, that's enough. Nobody wants to give him a second contract ever.
This is not
nobody
second contract. The Texans had him for what? 4 games? 3 games?
So did Detroit.
We know Chauncey is an issue. Fine.
And Detroit has guys who will kidnap you and pistol whip you.
We'll see if he remains on that roster. But that's not fun. Let's guess which Casario friend called him a bitch.
Okay? Because that's what he said.
Yes.
Which I have a hard time believing somebody not connected with the organization would call a player.
He's just out there, Hank, watching practice, and he decided
to call
Chauncey.
Yeah, because that's
going to
go well with an NFL player.
Well, it didn't go well, according to Chauncey. He was out of his body.
No, because what? Who would – this is a serious question. Who would literally say, Chauncey, shut up, Chauncey, Gardner-Johnson. You're just being a bitch.
I don't even know that.
Nobody would say that. A regular person?
I don't believe
a regular person would get his ass kicked.
I don't believe it not because of that. I believe someone may have said it. I don't think Casario has friends.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That's a different angle.
What friends? Do we see Nick out and about?
He likes he likes people who work at 610.
Are they friends?
He texts back and forth on them about wrestling and whatnot.
Wrestling?
Mm. Yeah, he's a wrestling fan.
You're giving away the plot here.
He's a wrestling fan.
Nick Casario loves wrestling?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
I have something to say, and I want you to know
okay.
that I am showing unbelievable restraint right
are
now.
You really
that's yeah. surprising you
that
normally
must be
don't do
serious
that.
Yeah, it has to do with Eskimo friends.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not doing this. I know exactly what he's going to do now. You know, he didn't take your comments serious at all, Dell. He didn't and in fact that's one that could really piss him off. You shouldn't have even said it like that.
But
now we're never gonna get him.
What
on
comment
interview.
The one I made?
No, him.
Oh.
What he literally just said.
I didn't say
said.
Anything. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
What he literally just said. No, I think Nick is a guy who keeps.
Well, he's
pretty,
the one that just said Nick doesn't have any friends.
He keeps a
As
pretty
a joke,
tight circle.
You apparently have real information.
He keeps
you
know, a, he keeps a tight. No, he didn't actually have information, and he didn't show
that's
any
why
restraint.
I didn't say it.
He didn't show any restraint.
why
he eventually
didn't say
said
it.
It. He eventually
this
said
is
it.
His restraint.
His restraint was I have restraint. Eskimo Brothers.
Friends.
Like, friends.
Okay,
friends. Not even brothers.
Whatever. That just means, okay, well, restraint's gone.
But he didn't give out a name.
No, I didn't say anything.
Doesn't matter.
I could have.
If you know, you
I
know.
I could have.
Who would know? No one, not that many people would know.
Well,
yeah.
He did, he's so restrained for most
restraint.
People.
Restraint.
That's restraint.
That's what
John.
I just did.
That's
the
it.
Fact that John didn't go, it happened in this hotel room at this time, and this
oh
is enough
God.
To be restrained for him.
My man has a wife and is literally married.
I'm not the one that made that up about. I'm not the one. I mean, that's. And that is ugly.
Babe, what up?
What's her name? Accused him.
Oh.
Who?
That Croyd or
yeah.
Freud
Chrissy
woman?
Freud?
Yeah.
When are we going to stop listening to her?
When she stops
like,
talking.
Like, legitimately, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, we cannot cite her as any kind of a source.
Yeah. Well, right.
It's really bad.
Right, right.
I told you, I met her once. Downstairs, she was talking about wanting to do something at the station. And after one conversation, I was like...
Speaking of Chrissy Freud, we have not even mentioned this weather person and traffic person from Channel 2 that was fired. Brittany Begley?
Our Channel 2?
Our Channel 2 here.
I don't know about it.
KPRC. Yeah, Okay, she apparently. Did you see this, Dell?
No.
You seen her?
I have not.
You know who
I
mean? Do you know who she is?
She looks like she could be on Telemundo.
I mean, she's not guilty.
She looks like she could.
To me, right? She's not guilty.
She looks like she could be on Univision. She looks like she could be covering the World Cup for Telemundo.
Yes, she does. She looks exactly like that. And the thing about it is that she's pissed, first of all, that she doesn't have any Emmys.
Oh.
And so.
Isn't that a her problem?
And she tweeted this, no longer with KPRC, and for that, I'm truly grateful. Maybe you've read the headlines. I'm not. She tweeted. She was out there just. I think she might have had a couple wines or something.
Uh-huh. Maybe.
No, no one knows. A
couple spritzes.
I'm not afraid of being disliked for what I'm saying, what others won't, especially when living paycheck to paycheck. I'm not afraid of judgment anymore. That fear doesn't own me.
What did she say? Was she talking about traffic in a different, like, this traffic is ass? What did she say that other people won't
this
say?
This traffic is ass.
I told myself that when I die, at least I'll know I stood for something, even if the industry never technically thought I was worthy.
TxDOT has really got a problem. Like, you can't be saying that.
She's talking about the KPRC hierarchy, only to turn on the TV and watch a team normalize bad behavior, consistently late, not even mic'd up 10 minutes before a show, then put it on air as a segment. Where I come from, it's a write-up at the very least. And where you come from now, it's a firing. You are done.
Let me ask you something, John. You would have some insight into the finances of a station. Yeah. Your wife obviously has worked now in L.A., worked here. Would a meteorologist at a network...
And weather. I mean, meteorologist and traffic.
Fine, yep. But meteorologist at this point, or at least was, would they be living paycheck to paycheck?
I don't know what she's... It's not... Okay, she spends a lot, but she makes a lot, but she spends a lot.
I know Patrick Ewing, yes. But I'm saying, if she had a hand...
She's not making great money. She's not making tremendous money.
Yeah, she could be living paycheck.
No, she's a weather / traffic person, apparently.
I don't know if you know this, but radio and TV...
I mean, now, the weather people can be very highly paid. Apparently, they didn't appreciate her.
Why have we never talked about the fact that Al Roker became a star? Weather people, we all know in this day and age what we tend to scroll on.
Well, you know why? It's because people watch weather.
I know people watch weather, but I guess they really like personalities.
No, well, and if you've got a weather person that people like to watch, it's very important to your newscast. That's why.
They got Travis something. They got guys here who...
Yeah, Travis.
Travis
is great.
Yeah,
Wendy hired him, and a lot of people watch him.
I think he's really good. I like Frank Billingsley. I remember, I'll never forget, Frank Billingsley was talking about how much
rain... How'd you like Ed Brandon? Did you like him?
Well, you're not even supposed to bring that name up. It's too much... Bad.
Did you like that?
No, I wasn't watching 13 at the time. Dave Ward just chilling at
I
that.
I see.
Frank, you like that? You like that?
I see Frank Billingsley over. He's over at Yanni sometimes.
He's still over.
Freak Easter. He comes over.
He's still over at 2, really?
11.
And I'll never forget. He was like, Houston is going to see when what's our 17 hurricane that put all the rain on us?
Oh,
which one was that?
No.
Or big hurricane.
What was it?
Hurricane Gary?
No, what the hell was it?
What's the hurricane from 17?
Yeah.
Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey.
I knew it was an H.
So, Hurricane Harvey. He said he was doing this, and I'm at the house by myself. My family went out of town, and he's like, okay, guys, there's a good chance we're going to get, we could get as much as 50 inches of rain. And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. God, the fear mongering, because this is when we had for years talked about and Ken Hoffman used to always joke about babies were walking in the street and there were weather people acting like they were being about to be blown onto the ground.
There was a child
taking its first step.
Over. Yeah.
And I just thought, I am so tired of weather people getting so excited about hurricanes and scaring everybody. And then I had to make a public Twitter apology to him. I felt like it was necessary because that stupid hurricane literally hit the brakes, pulled up the parking brake, and dropped every inch of rain it had on us. And it was truly terrifying to be in the middle of.
Oh, Harvey
Were
was
you
terrifying.
Here?
Yeah, I was in the newsroom saving people on canoes.
Well, I was in my house, and when some water came in through a kit, through a bathroom, like, wait, what the hell? And then luckily when it, my street drains well, so when it stopped raining, because it was, remember it would go and you'd get about a 20-minute respite, and then that monster would come back around, and it was, God, man, that was a terrifying night. And that was the same night they had Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor.
It was?
Yeah, I wasn't able to. Yeah.
I guess Frank is retired. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't watch Channel 11. I can't watch Channel 11, otherwise I won't be married.
Well, he wasn't Channel 11. Frank Billingsley? He was two.
Frank Billingsley was two?
Yeah.
No one knows. It's impossible to know.
Well, he just told you.
You don't even live
here
anymore.
It's really impossible to know. It's impossible for me to know because I can't watch the other ones.
You're not allowed.
I can watch. I have seen many times Kent Jones, okay? And Kent Jones is a friend. Kent Jones.
I like to call him the finance. What are we? Not finance.
Mortgage.
The mortgage guy to the stars.
Not really. He's the opposite. Actually, he just deals with ordinary, regular Houstonians.
Well, but when I say stars, my definition of stars is all of us.
The people.
The people
are stars.
Not this.
To Kent Jones.
Yeah. Everyone else thinks we're the star.
He treats
people.
Everyone like a star.
Yeah. He treats us like we're fancy people and not just sorry people.
Right. But he's not. He never says that about people. He never says you're one of the sorry people.
So. No, I'm saying other people think we're all the sorry people. Right. The billionaires think you're a sorry people. Guess what? Kent Jones thinks you're special.
Kent Jones, well, he does give you that specialized attention. He will treat you like it's like you're a star. He really, really, really will. That's a fact, Jack. He's going to make sure that you get the best loan you could possibly get. You get the best title company. You get the best real estate agent. He's going to make – there are so many layers to buying a home and getting that mortgage and all of the different trust me, there are fee after fee. There's fee after fee after fee. Kent knows how to cut those fees. Kent knows how to get you the loan that's perfect for you with all of the other stuff that you got to do as well. When you go in to buy a home, you're going to sign this. It takes about 10, 15 minutes to sign all the different paperwork. Well, all of those different people have to be, you know, where did they come from? Well, Kent Jones can tell you where they came or help you get the right ones for you and make it more affordable. Not only more affordable, it's where you could save tens upon tens of thousands of dollars. He does it all the time. Kent Jones is the guy to call. If you are buying a home, Kent Jones is the man. He's our guy. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN or 975loans.com.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.